How will the Chancellor's autumn statement affect HMO investors?
Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whittaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you.
Last week, you may have been watching the television when our Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, stood up to address the House of Commons with his autumn statement. This is quite an interesting autumn statement because, of course, it follows the mini budget that we had from Kwasi Kwarteng and Liz Truss only a few weeks earlier. And in fact, many of the things which Kwasi announced in that slightly knee-jerk statement to try and get the economy moving have completely been reversed. And actually, as I read through the detail of Jeremy Hunt's statement, some of it makes me feel, to be honest, quite depressed. Because he takes with one hand and he gives with another. And I feel there's an awful lot of shenanigans going on in this autumn statement. The Conservative Party claim that they are a party of growth. They claim that they are a party of low taxation. They claim that they are a party that wants to encourage enterprise and commercial behaviour. But everything that they do goes right against that. So if you're an HMO investor, you might have looked briefly at the statement and wondered, how does this affect you? So I've tried to go through the nuts and bolts of it. I've tried to pull it apart sentence by sentence and ask myself, how would this affect me if I was just starting off in HMOs? And if you're a bit further down the line and maybe you've got a large portfolio, how might it affect you? Well, the first statement that Jeremy Hunt made regarding income and taxation, which is obviously one of the big hot potatoes of any government that is in office to make decisions on, is around the higher rate tax threshold. So what Jeremy Hunt said was that asking more from those who have more means that the first difficult decision I take on tax is to reduce the threshold at which the 45p tax rate becomes payable from £150,000 to £125,140 per annum. For many people, that seems like a long way away, that earning £150,000 a year seems like a pipe dream. But if you're investing in property, it actually isn't that far away than you might think. In fact, it's quite possible to have that kind of level of income after a few years. But unfortunately, now you're going to be paying 45 pence tax rate after you've been earning £125,000 a year. And that's nothing to say about if you've invested property or if you've bought property in your own name and you're also having to grapple with Section 24. But that is not part of what Jeremy Hunt was announcing, so I'm not going to go into that today. suffice it to say, though, that Section 24 is the most egregious tax ever introduced by man. And of course, that man who did it, George Osborne, I'm very pleased to say, thankfully, has retired and been relegated to the depths of some backroom office now, whereby hopefully he has never got any more contact with property investors. So clearly the Conservative Party in doing this are saying, well, those with the broader shoulders have to pay more to support the needs of the economy, even though it's often those with the broader shoulders who are the ones who are employing people. They are the entrepreneurs. They are the ones who are the engine of the economy. They are bringing in the cash. They may be trading with Europe. They may be trading across the rest of the world. They may be the ones who have the Amazon businesses, the online businesses, the new engineers, the ones who are developing products and services for the rest of the world. And as a result, their businesses have done well, they've grown, and they can take a salary from their business. But now, I'm afraid, that incentive to grow, to be productive, to be to make more money has dropped by £25,000 per annum, because now why would you want to make over £125,000 when effectively that tax rate means that you will be making almost nothing from the extra £25,000 that you would make if you were on £150,000 because of the drag on the tax. It's absolutely ridiculous. I think if this government really wants to encourage enterprise over the next few years, it's going to have to think long and hard about how it encourages entrepreneurs to make money, to invest money, and to give back in terms of tax, but not in terms of these extortionate levels of tax, which is a disincentive to most entrepreneurs. Now, the second part of the speech was what Jeremy Hunt called taking difficult decisions on tax-free allowances. This is, again, another very contentious issue because, of course, we are at the moment in an era of very high inflation. And this means that prices in the shops, prices you pay for fuel, house prices, they've all gone up significantly over the last couple of years. Now, we can argue as to why the causes of inflation have happened. Certainly, all the extra borrowing and spending that took place during COVID would have participated and added to the growth in inflation that we're facing right now. But whatever reasons you might attribute to this inflationary pressure that's happening at the moment in the economy, the fact is that people's earnings have not gone up very much, but they are set to start to rise. All around us, we see people, train drivers, teachers, nurses, striking, mostly because they want more pay. And who can blame them? Why wouldn't you, if you're in the public sector, when your pay is set by the government or by a pay review body that is a quasi-governmental department? Why wouldn't you want to press for more income in a time of high inflationary pressure? You can't necessarily just go out and produce more of a certain product to make more money like an entrepreneur, like a self-employed person can do. You are tied into a system, which is, of course, one of the reasons why I wanted to get out of that system, because the only way I could ever increase my pay when I was a higher education lecturer was by getting a promotion or by perhaps doing a piece of research or by going up the salary scale in some way. There was no way that my income was related to my actual productivity, and therefore the link between what I actually contributed and what I earned was very tenuous. So for these people who are in the public sector, they're now paying for more money because their costs have gone up. Possibly their mortgage rate has gone up, their energy prices have gone up, their fuel price has gone up. So everything that they are paying out has increased, but their income hasn't. Now, what Jeremy Hunt has decided to do is to keep all the personal tax allowances frozen. So that means that if you were on an income of £30,000 and you were paying a lower rate income tax, if your income then starts to rise because of the inflationary pressure, your lower rate income tax will, your tax-free allowance will stay exactly the same. Now, if you're a property investor, let's imagine you have three HMOs. Your net income per month from those three HMOs is, let's say, £3,000. So over the course of a year, you're earning £36,000 net income from those HMOs. It's quite likely that over the next 5 years, your rental income is going to increase fairly substantially. Might even push you to the higher rate tax limit. You might sort of fall over into the £50,000 plus tax limit. Now, I'm not going to talk about Section 24 and the impact that has on claiming your mortgage interest against your costs. That is another absolutely egregious situation, but I'm not going to go into that today. But the fact is that your allowance, your personal allowance at which your tax is calculated, will have been frozen. So effectively, you are going to be earning more money due to an inflationary pressure, even though you can't actually buy more with it because all your costs in the shops and everywhere else has also gone up. But effectively, you are being frozen at a personal tax limit that has not increased. Now, this is called fiscal drag. And what it means is that more people will go into that higher rate tax threshold, more people will start to pay tax, fewer people will be in the tax-free allowance and will have no tax to pay. And yet their standard of living will not have increased by one penny because their costs have also increased in line with their income. And this is such a detrimental effect to society because although materially you might look around and think, well, I'm earning more money. Great, I've got another £5,000 because my employer has just given me a salary rise. Well, fantastic. But it's not so fantastic, is it, if everything around you has also gone up by £5,000? Basically, the money that comes in is just going to go straight out. And in a previous era where your expenditure was lower and your income was lower, your tax-free allowance would cover a much bigger percentage of your income, which meant that you paid tax at a much lower rate. So now not only is your expenditure going to be higher, but your tax is also going to be higher. You'll be paying more tax because of fiscal drag. But Jeremy Hunt doesn't want to point this out, of course, because he wants to make this sound like this is the Conservative Party being fiscally responsible and doing something about the huge amount of debt that the UK is currently in. Now, Jeremy Hunt then goes on to claim that we in the UK still have the most generous set of tax-free allowances of any G7 country. Well, let me tell you, I don't want to live in any other G7 country. And even if I did, I think there'd be other benefits to living in other G7 countries, which the UK doesn't currently have. One of which, of course, is the fact that they have growth in their GDP. And growth is a key factor in taking us out of a potential recession, which some say at the moment we are already in recession. Some say we are about to enter recession. The figures are certainly every quarter being examined very carefully because no one has yet actually stated we are truly in a recession. We haven't seen those true two quarters of negative GDP growth to determine that we are actually in a recession. It's probably true that we are in a recession. So how do we get out of a recession? We need to be growing. We need to grow our economy. We need to be expanding our economy. I wonder how the Conservatives think that that can happen when what they're doing is they're dragging people down using this methodology of fiscal drag. Another factor which will undoubtedly affect you if you are an HMO investor is your allowances on what the Chancellor neatly calls unearned income. Because did you know that if you have an investment property, it's counted as unearned income? You haven't done anything to earn it. No. You haven't done any property viewings. You haven't spent hours trawling through the internet. You haven't done any deal analysis. You haven't entered any figures into any spreadsheets. You haven't stayed up at night wondering which of these properties you should go and view, building relationships with vendors, estate agents. You haven't done any work. You haven't gone to the property and done the viewing. You haven't taken a builder there. You haven't done a specification. You haven't done a schedule of works. You haven't managed a refurb project. You haven't got tenants into the building. You haven't helped the tenants into the building. You haven't issued ASTs. And the list goes on. No. All of that is unearned, my friend. It's unearned income. You haven't done anything to earn it. It's investment income. So what is Jeremy Hunt saying he's going to do about reforming allowances on unearned income? Well, he's being very generous because the dividend allowance will be cut from £2,000 to £1,000 in 2023. And then from April 2024, it will be cut to £500. So if you have a limited company and you are making some profits, you might want to take some of those profits as dividends rather than a salary. What is the point of being profitable if your dividend allowance is going to be cut to £500 per annum? There's not going to be any point making a profit. There's going to be no point at all in paying yourself a dividend because there's no incentive to do it. But also now, there's also no incentive to try and earn a high wage, a high earning from your company either, because the higher rate allowance has also been cut. What is the Chancellor really saying? What is he really doing here? Because to me, this budget is all about disincentive. It's about homogeneity. No, is that the right word? Homogeneity. Something like that. Where we all become the same. There can be no differences between us, ladies and gents. We all have to earn the same. We have to spend the same. We have to behave the same. We have to buy the same. We have to act the same. Because if we're not all the same, then we can't be controlled. Is this really down to control? And you might think, Wendy, you're going a little bit off into conspiracy theory here. But I do wonder at the moment in our world of modern politics and post-COVID, post-Brexit economies, what's really happening with our cultural response to the economy? Why more people are not standing up and saying, A, we want a general election, B, we want to choose how we spend our money and not for the government to do it for us. On another point about income and especially capital income that you might benefit from the growth of the capital value of your property, which again is very common if you're investing in property, particularly in a fiat economy where we've seen inflation over the last couple of years be very, very high. It's likely that any property that you owned prior to COVID is now worth significantly more. You decide to sell that property and currently you have a £12,300 capital gains tax allowance. It's called the annual exempt amount. So that means that the if you would sell a property and let's say you sell it for £50,000 more than you paid for it, your first £12,300 are knocked off before the calculation for capital gains tax is made. Now, the government is going to cut that by half by 2023. So it's going down to £6,000 by April 2023. And then it's going to be cut to £3,000 from April 2024. Well, I think the lesson from this is quick, get out there. If you've got properties that you're thinking about selling, do it now while you've still got the annual exempt allowance of £12,300. Because as from next April, if that property hasn't sold, you're going to be paying way more in tax, my friend. Because not only will it mean that your annual exempt amount goes down to £6,000, so you have less that you can claim against that capital gain, you now have more tax to pay on the additional capital gain that has now fallen into the tax amount. It's absolutely horrific. Now, it might be that Jeremy Hunt believes there's lots of rich investors sitting on properties that they don't really like, they don't really want, they don't really need, and this is going to encourage them to sell. Maybe he's thinking this is going to encourage a growth in the housing market. Maybe he's also trying to penalise people who hold on to property, who hold on to capital assets and don't sell them. Maybe he believes that actually we should be trading capital assets and not holding on to them for a long time. And therefore, he's trying to penalise people who do that by reducing their annual exempt amount. However, if he really understood the housing market, he would realise that stability comes from people owning assets long term. Stability is brought to tenants by the fact that I, as a landlord, don't sell. That I, as a landlord, actually rarely put up rents. That I, as a landlord, don't shake the boat and try and upset the lives of my tenants. I want to give them peaceful and quiet enjoyment of their property. In fact, that is written into UK housing law, that I allow my tenants to have peaceful and quiet enjoyment of their property. If I'm buying a house 1 year and then selling it the next to make a quick gain, now, that might be something that a trading business would do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I, as an HMO landlord, I'm in it for the long run. I want to be in it for the long run. I want to provide stability and certainty, and I want to build a business that has regular turnover, that has repeat custom, repeat business. Now, by reducing the capital gains tax allowance, I think that the Chancellor is lighting a touch paper. I don't know what effect this is going to have on the housing market over the next few weeks and months. It will be very interesting to see the impact that this has. It might, of course, not have any impact because the fundamental belief that I hold is true for many other investors who also hold it. Their exit strategy is death. And therefore, they are going to keep their properties until they die, when their children will possibly inherit them. Therefore, this annual exempt allowance reduction maybe means nothing. And that's a good thing. But I just do wonder why the Chancellor wants to play around with taxing and charging those within society who have more, who are providing for people who have less, who are giving good service, fantastic accommodation to those who perhaps can't afford their own home or wouldn't be eligible for their own home. They can't get a mortgage. They're one of the 500,000 immigrants who've come to the UK this year. And yet, we're the ones being penalised. Now, the government also announced, Jeremy Hunt also announced, that the OBR, the Office for Budget Responsibility, expects housing activities to slow over the next 2 years. So the stamp duty cuts announced in the mini-budget will remain in place, but only until 31st of March 2025. He hasn't announced what the new regime will be after 2025, but obviously that announcement, which was announced by Kwasi way back in September, is not a permanent change. After that, says Jeremy Hunt, I will sunset the measure. That's a very nice, neat phrase, isn't it? Creating an incentive to support the housing market. What does he mean by that? What kind of incentive is he going to introduce to support the housing market? Does he mean that he is going to increase taxation on the housing market? I don't see how that's going to be an incentive to support the housing market. Maybe he's going to increase the stamp duty levels at which you start to pay stamp duty. That would be a great thing. But we saw what happened during COVID when stamp duty was cut. In fact, it was eliminated, wasn't it, for any property purchase, I think, under £500,000, or was it under £600,000? We saw the tremendous buoyancy that brought into the market and how huge growth and prices happened as a result of that. Maybe that's what Jeremy Hunt wants to create after 2025. I think it's all to play for at the moment. It seems to me that there is no really clear strategy from this government or from this Chancellor about housing. Certainly what we've seen in the last few weeks is a government that is lost. They don't have a clear fiscal policy. They don't understand the need to encourage entrepreneurship and encourage businesses to be the engine of growth within our economy, to reduce its reliance on public sector, to reduce its reliance on debt as a way to fuel the economy. And unfortunately, I think until that happens, we're going to have some rocky times ahead. So I think as an HMO investor, as ever, we need to stay ahead of the game. While you could look on this statement as a statement of negativity, and you know, you could go into your little hole and become depressed about it, we don't do that, do we? As HMO investors, we stand up and we fight, and we find creative solutions to the problems that the government loves to throw along our path. And that's what I will be doing. And I'm sure you will be joining with me too. We'll find ways in which we can still help other people. We can still create fantastic units of accommodation. We can still find ways to get around some of the iniquitous tax changes that could otherwise dampen our businesses, dampen our profits, and dampen our spirits. But we're not going to let that happen, because we know that what we have in creating great HMO rooms for great tenants is a fantastic product that will outlive many of the current cabinet, many of the current government. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to offer you words of hope, words of determination, and words of strength, that whatever environment we find ourselves in, ultimately we provide a service that people want and people need. And I think that will always have a value in society. And no matter how much we might be pressed down, we might be pushed, we might be oppressed, we know how to do this, and they don't. They need us. And actually, we don't necessarily need them. We have freedom. They are still caught. And on that note, thank you very much for listening, and I'll speak to you again very soon.
Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.